Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. It's great to have you here. Today is Tuesday, October 6th, 2020. And we are in episode number 20 of season 2 of the Morning Devotional. We are working our way through the Sermon on the Mount, and thus far we have come to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. Today I want to look at more thoughts regarding Matthew 5, 18 and dip in a little bit to verse 19. But let's pray together, as we always do, and ask for the Spirit's help as we consider His Word. So let's pray. Father, as we look at Your Word now, we pray for Your mercy and strength. We ask that You might give us the grace that we need to understand Your truths. We pray that we would take seriously these statements of the Savior, and we would seek to live them in our daily lives. We pray that You would bless Your people today, that You might minister to the hurting or the struggling. You might work in the lives of our families, that You might give hope and strength to our single people in our churches. We pray for our covenant children, that they might grow to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that You'd help us, that You might help us as a nation, that You might send revival into our land. And we pray that You might be glorified. We ask You now that You might give us Your Spirit, so that we might understand Your Word, we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, we are looking at Matthew 5, verses 18, and probably dipping into verse 19 a little bit. I do want to read these two verses, and then I want to bring some comments that Sinclair Ferguson mentions in his very helpful book, The Sermon on the Mount, Kingdom Life in a Fallen World, that I think, as I reviewed them, I think they will benefit you greatly. But Matthew 5, 18, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Sinclair Ferguson, commenting on Matthew 5:18, he makes reference to this question, this issue about the fulfillment, the fulfilling of the law by Christ. And here he points to, I believe, four particular areas in which Jesus fulfills the law. Let me just read from his little book and make some comments. He first says that Jesus fulfills the law in His doctrine or teaching. In other words, here, Jesus brings out the real significance of the law. This is a very important point that needs to be made. Clearly, we understand that the moral law, the Ten Commandments, are summations. They're summary statements of God's abiding moral truth, right? And throughout the Old Testament economy, especially, and warped even more so with the scribes and the Pharisees, these laws, they were twisted and perverted in some sense by wicked men. And Jesus brings forward in His teaching, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, but elsewhere also, the true sense of the doctrinal emphasis of God's abiding truth. Let me give you an example of that. And it's right after this section. We know what the Sixth Commandment teaches, do not kill, right? But here, Jesus says that if we're angry with our brother, we have murdered them in our heart. You see, that's the bringing out the full sense of the Sixth Commandment into the lives of God's people. And so it's not just a matter of doing externally God's truth. It's living it practically from the heart in its full sense and understanding of what it teaches. One area that I would point you to, I think, and would be helpful if you don't have a copy of the Westminster Standards, I would encourage you to get that online. You can get it for free just about anywhere. Just do a Google search. But there, beginning in with the larger catechism, beginning with question 103, we have the statements regarding the duties and the things that are forbidden in the various commandments. And there it gets it takes the full view of Scripture and unpacks its true essence, its true meaning as to how Jesus fulfills the law in doctrine, in explaining the truth of God's Word. So it's a very devotional time if you spent some of those times in the larger catechism, looking up the Scripture proofs and meditating on some of the statements that are related to the statements made in the Ten Commandments. Do not commit adultery doesn't just mean that husbands or wives should go out and have extramarital affairs or do things that they shouldn't do, break their marriage vows. It means far more than that. And the larger catechism, the shorter catechism, explores some of those ways in which this happens. And so Jesus fulfills the law in his doctrine or teaching. He fulfills the law in his deeds and lifestyle. In other words, he didn't just teach the law, he actually lived it. So he taught and then he modeled the law. I'm reminded of a particular verse in Ezra, and I'm reading it on my wall in my study. I put this on my wall as a pastor. It's a good reminder. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach all the statutes to the people. And that's a paraphrase. But really the point is still there, right? The law was studied by the scribe, by Ezra, excuse me, and he practiced it in his life, and then he taught it. And note the order there. Study the word, practice it, exemplify it, and then teach it. Now, Jesus did all of these things in his deeds and his lifestyle. Sinclair Ferguson makes reference to the fact that the law of God was not a burden on Jesus' shoulders. Rather, it was written in his heart. This is why the early church saw so clearly in Jesus the fulfillment of Psalm 40, verse 8, which says, "To do your will, O my God, is my desire. Your law is within my heart." Later, Jesus makes reference to the fact that doing God's will was his meat and drink. In other words, it was what sustained him each day. And so, not only does Jesus fulfill the law in teaching and doctrine, not only does he fulfill it in his deeds and lifestyle, which really is an example to us that as we are disciples of Christ, that's why we're called Christians, we want to follow him and how he lived and what he taught. Third, Jesus fulfills the law in his death. That is the reality of the law's holiness as he bears the penalty of breaking the law. Now, he never broke the law, but he took sin to himself. He who knew no sin became sin for you and me because we are the lawbreakers. And so he, as the substitutionary atonement, as one who stood in our place, as the perfect Lamb of God who never broke the law, fulfilled everything about the law and kept it in thought, word, and deed, could be our Redeemer. But he still had to take to himself the burden of death, which the law brings. And so he fulfills it in that way. And then finally, Jesus fulfills the law in his disciples. Sinclair Ferguson says, Jesus fulfills the law by writing it in the hearts of his disciples through the ministry of the Spirit. Jeremiah 31, the new covenant, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And so as God's people today, the law is written on our hearts by the work of the Spirit. The sanctifying grace of the Holy Spirit now is putting into us and making us new creations and working in us a zeal, a desire to do what God has indeed told us. So we do. We respond to God's law with joyful zeal and obedience, not drudgery. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And so we do it gladly as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus goes on in verse 19, just very, very quickly, because we're almost out of time. He then condemns anybody who relaxes these issues and teaches people to do so. Now, we see much of that in our world today. We see much what it's known as antinomianism, anti-law, anti-nomos, anti-law. We see much of that today. We don't see preaching that emphasizes the law and the gospel. You need both. You need to show people their need, and then you show them Christ. We don't see much of that today. We either see too much law with no Christ, which ends up becoming moralism, which isn't the gospel, or we see grace upon grace, which we need, but we don't know why. So we have to balance this. Christ did. We need to keep it in tension. And those who relax these matters and teach others to do the same are least in the kingdom of God. It's very interesting how, our kingdom of heaven, it's very interesting how the Savior puts that there. But he does commend those who teach and do what he's saying, who will be great in the kingdom. So two very, very important verses in our Christian experience. And so as we think about these things, we think about how Jesus teaches right doctrine about the law, how he exemplifies it in his life, and then it calls us to do so as we follow him. We see how he's put the law in our hearts and how he then encourages people to teach these matters in his church and in the world today. Well, I trust these times are a blessing for you. I hope they are. If you'd like to contact me, you can do so. The information is there before you on the screen. And so until tomorrow, when we begin to look more deeply into the Sermon on the Mount, we'll start looking at this issue of anger in the Sixth Commandment. I trust the Lord will bless you today as you seek to serve him faithfully.